John tells us not to love the things of the world. And he doesn't say not to enjoy them. He doesn't say don't be thankful for them. God provides us everything. But he simply says don't place your affection that belongs to God on other things. Don't make things more important than God is. And again, this is a simple principle. You know, it's the same thing. Don't make your tools more important than your wife. Don't make your whatever it is you're into more important. Your fishing more important than your spouse, or those kinds of things. That will cause trouble. And when we make things in the world more important to us than what God is, what Jesus is to us, it makes trouble. If you must make a choice between a thing and God, choose God. And I mean, that sounds right, and it's easy to say it, but it's impossible for us to choose God over things on our own. Because we're weak. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, without faith, you and I will choose things over God. And because of that, each of us suffers. But it's not a punishment. You know, when you choose things over God and the repercussion of that is you know you fall into suffering, that's not God punishing you. I mean, you've been redeemed. God doesn't count your sins against you. He doesn't impute your sins to you. He's not even mad at you. But the reason that you suffer is because the reason we suffer is because we're worshiping the wrong kinds of things. It's because suffering is the fruit of worshiping things. If you plant corn, you're going to get corn. And if you plant grass seed that's got a lot of weed seed in it, you're going to get a lot of weeds. And you know, you just get back what you plant. And so if your heart is set on things instead of God, or more on things than God, then the fruit of that is suffering. That God's not mad at you, He's not punishing you. That's just how it works. Truthfully, God keeps us from being overcome by the harvest that we deserve. You know, we sow a lot more weeds and stuff than we should. I mean, if we harvested everything that we deserved, I mean, we wouldn't even be alive. And so there's never a reason to accuse God or be disappointed with God. He's running interference. So when, you know, you suffer, don't go ballistic on God. He isn't doing it. If we understand these things, of course, then we can make corrections in our life, and hopefully we can have a better life. Many people worship God only because they want things. That's the bottom line. And I suppose as babies, we all kind of start out that way, but at some point, you know, we need to grow past that. You know, if they believe God will help them get the things they want, or that they can avoid being bad things by worshiping God, they'll worship God. But their goal is things, not fellowship with God. That's why that song meant so much to me this morning. You know, imagine here that we're... Did Les leave? All right. Fine, then you come and you be my example. Blame your dad. This is Sarah. Now, I don't know if you know this, but Sarah is rich. Sierra. What did I say?
Sierra.
What did I say?
Sierra.
Sierra, what did I say?
Sierra.
Sierra, oh, I left out a syllable? Uh-huh. Well, that's like, because I'm 63.
It's okay, I'm
not that. I know it's Sierra. We'll just try to get all three syllables out there. I don't want you anymore. No, I do. I do. But anyway, so Sierra, somebody's looking, oh my God. Anyway, she is rich. Okay, I mean, she is like, is there such a thing called filthy rich? Okay, I mean, she has so much money, it's crazy. And I really like Les. I mean, Sarah. every couple of weeks, you know, I'm a little short, and so I tap her. You know, can I borrow a couple dollars? Can you help me out with a few dollars? And And, you know, like she says, how much? Well, like 20. And she says, she opens up her money and she pulls out her, you know, wad of cash. She says, I don't even have any 20s. Here's a couple hundreds. Because she's like, you know, I mean, she is rich, you know. And this goes on every couple of weeks. So then after a while, you know, she's wondering, you know, do I even really want to be her friend? Or am I just like, you know, using her as my, but yeah, I mean, you know, you're wondering about it. Now, I could be true, but you don't know, you know what I mean? And so then she decides she's going to cut me off. And, yeah, like that gig thing's over. And, you know, and she's going to find out whether I am really her friend or whether I'm just interested in the benefits, you know, the money that she can provide. And, she wants to enjoy fellowship. She wants a friend. You know, she doesn't want just somebody who's chasing her around for her money. But, you know, so she finds out, so she cuts me off. And sure enough, as soon as she cuts me off, I don't have anything good to say about her anymore. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I'm going around, I'm dissing her and telling, saying all these bad things about her and how whatever it is. I mean, that's just mean, isn't it? Yeah. All right, you can sit down. Give her a big hand clap. And I no longer speak to her, that kind of thing. All right, so here's what it is. You know, Jesus talked about our nature to focus on things. He mentioned this. You know, he just told us this is kind of how we are. You know, this is the nature of people. And our nature is to focus on things instead of fellowship. And to a large crowd that was following him, he was talking. He was telling this large crowd. He had broke bread and he fed this crowd of 5,000 people supernaturally. Then he snuck off in the night, went to the other side of a lake, and somehow they figured out where he was, and the thousands of them tracked him down. It's like a, you know, a little herd of sheep. I mean, they're just running to wherever he was. And so he explained it to him. He says, you know what? You just want me because you got some bread from Fairway. And that's why you come. That's why you're following me around, you know. But you don't really want, you know, you're not following me because I'm the Son of God. You're not following me because you want fellowship with me. You know, you probably, who even knows whether you even really like me? I know you think you like me because I gave you bread, so I'm popular. I understand that. But you know, but you're only following me because you want bread. And that's not how it works. And so they all split, left him. Fine. We don't need you anyway. Never did like you. Whatever the case may be. And so John just explained to us that's not the kind of relationship that we're supposed to have with Jesus. This weakness of ours is why we go through trials and tribulations. It isn't Jesus that makes us go through them. It's because of the weakness of our flesh. It's because we crave things and not fellowship with Jesus. We crave things over him. And when we cave and we turn away under trial or tribulation, it's revealed that we don't really love Jesus. That's how we know that we really weren't affectionate for him. That's how we know our hearts really weren't true. What we really wanted was that $20 bill. What we really wanted was our issue to be solved, our problem to be solved. It wasn't really fellowship with him that we wanted. And the way we know that is because when we fall under trial and tribulation, that's when we run away. That's the indicator. That's why. Because we have this nature to want things more than him. That's why we fall into that trap of suffering, why we fall into trials and tribulations. When all we're about is things, what happens is see, we shut the door to heaven. And then we open the door to the curse that's on earth. There's not a curse in heaven, but there is a curse on earth. And you know, and at that time that you shut the doors to heaven and you open, you know, the door to the curse on the earth, then we're going to be thrust into the midst of a trial and tribulation. And so, as you see, if we just keep that door shut on earth by not loving the things of this earth over our Lord and Savior, and love him more and be about fellowship with him, and we'd keep those doors open and we wouldn't fall under all that trouble. Things on earth are under the jurisdiction of a curse. That's why everything breaks and falls apart. This is a podium. Some people think podiums in churches are sacred, but they're not. See, there's a chip right there. The reason there's a chip in this thing, or the reason it gets old, is because it's under a curse. Now, I know that we like to take old things and worship them and make them into, but you know, I don't want to get into that. But, the reason stuff falls apart is because it's under a curse. That's why we're getting older, falling apart. If you're a little older and feeling a little more creaks in your body, that's why. You're not under a curse, but your flesh is. It's of the world. And everything in the world is falling apart. So if my affection is for things that fall apart over my God, then I'm opening myself to the curse. Now suddenly that chip becomes my trial. It's a tribulation. It's wearing out. It's going to have to be replaced someday. Whatever the case is, of course, you might think that's a minor, but it's the same principle at whatever degree you put it. And so we cannot prostitute our hearts to things that are temporary, things that are in this world instead of our eternal God. Things on earth are under a curse, and that's why everything breaks and wears out. And if you set your heart on things that break, you're going to undergo trials and tribulations. The effect a trial has on believers is profound. Believers will be convinced even more that God is their source. I don't know why it is when Christians fall under tribulations and trials, they just get closer to God. That's when their hearts suddenly turn away from frivolous things towards the things that matter. And they just stay true to God. That's the bottom line of their life because Jesus is in their heart, because the Holy Spirit is in there, and that's just the effect. That's what happens to them. You watch them. They may cry and bawl and be laid up and this and that, but at the end of the day, they're still praising Jesus. They're still going to church. They're still reading their Bibles. They're still singing. They're still doing all the same things because God's on the inside of them. Their love of Jesus is confirmed by their devotion to Him. And it's when trial and tribulation comes and you see them react that way, that's how you know they're true. When people stick with Jesus while things are tough, you know that they have fellowship, that their fellowship, they're not just there for bread. Because if they were just there for bread, you see, they would have cut and run. They'd been gone. But they're not. And I don't know any Christian that's been a Christian for very long that hasn't undergone a lot of trials and tribulations. Even though we preach they don't come from Jesus and Jesus doesn't do them and all of those kinds of things, praise God, we've got better clarity on that. But I don't know any Christians that haven't been under a lot of trial and tribulation. People who are there only for bread, they run away. And so they're proved to be false disciples. Just like all those people were chasing Jesus around just to get bread. And then when he wouldn't give them bread, they're gone. And so you find out what's really going on. That's how a rich person finds out whether their friend's really their friend or not, or whether they're just hanging around for money. He's cut them off and find out. Things of the world are not bad to have. But things having the power to turn your devotion away from God, that's bad. It's bad to let something turn your devotion away from another person outside of turning your devotion away from God. Because your flesh is weak, our flesh is weak, we're going to be tested. We're going to be tried on that. The only question is will you cut and run? Or will you draw closer to Jesus? If Jesus is really in your heart, you will choose Him. And so, if you have been under trials and tribulations and your faith has been tested and all of those things and you've been hard, but at the end of the day, you said, you know what, I'm a Christian. And Jesus is my Lord. And that's who I am. You can be excited because you have been proved. You know what's really on the inside of you. But if you're the person that just cuts and runs every time there's trouble and this and that, well, then there's some doubts about what your intentions were in the first place. Everybody loves a winner. Everybody wants a rich friend. The problem the rich have is they never know if they really have a friend. because everybody around them wants money. They're not hanging around for a relationship. They're just hanging around for benefits. That's why rich people sometimes have so many problems, because they never feel like they're really loved by anybody. They don't know. But there is no shortage of people hanging around a rich person. You know, if a ball team is winning, attendance will go up. Now, there are always a few diehard fans for any team. I don't care how bad they are or how many jokes are made. There's always a couple diehard fans. But I'm telling you, when a team starts winning, you go to the attendance goes up. More tickets will be sold. The stadium will be packed out. But if that same team is losing, some fans will burn their team jerseys. Now, I saw it on Facebook. I'm not even a sports fanatic guy, but I was watching this. Some team, I don't know who it was losing. And apparently they weren't supposed to be losing, or I don't know what it was. This guy, he was so mad, he was out in the front yard. He poured fuel on his jersey and burned his jersey up. Had it. Who wants to hang around with a bunch of losers? You know, and so that's just how we, that's kind of how people are. Everybody likes a winner. When Jesus was seen as a winner, when he could feed thousands of people at a time, people flocked to him. He was very popular. But when it looked like he was losing, they yelled, "Crucify him." His closest disciples ran away. When it looks like the church is the place to be, you can't keep the people away from it. Historically, there have been times when the church enjoyed great favor in society, in nations. I mean, the church was the place to be. That's where you got connected. If you weren't in church, man, you were like on the outside. If you weren't in the church, it was like living on the wrong side of the tracks. You were just like, anybody who was anybody was part of the church. And so everybody wanted in. Everybody wanted to be a part of it. And there are churches like that today. I want to have great worship here. Praise God, we're getting it. I want great ministry, but I want a cool cafe, all that stuff. But I don't really want us to be just the cool spot that people think, well, if you're gonna, you know, this is the place you need to be. I want to help people come into fellowship. You know, to know who their God is and what it means to be in love with Him and to know Him and you know, just to be true worshipers, true believers. Not just a bunch of people hanging around for a loaf of bread because it makes them look good or it's the place to be, that kind of thing. I mean, this nonsense needs to stop. The fakery in our hearts, it needs to be eradicated. And it will be one way or the other. You know, if people think that they're going to get a big fat paycheck, you know, that's going to be their reward, they'll pay tithes plus. More than happy to. But they won't be around during tough times. I can guarantee you, I've seen that most of my Christian life. But there are people who are faithful regardless. And those are the people that I want to run with. That's the people that I want to be shoulder to shoulder to. I'd rather have two or three people that are faithful to run with than I would 1,000 people that are just there for a loaf of bread. And I just soon know that now as to know it later. You know, when people build their house on sand and the storm washes it away, that isn't God hating them. That's God giving them a second chance. You know, and if you've built your foundation on the wrong things and, you know, and you know, we all start out not being the most noble of character. You know, our coming to Jesus is usually a selfish thing. But hopefully, you know, as we grow in His family, you know, we begin to grow up and we begin to mature in our attitudes. And a lot of us have built things on sand, only to watch them collapse, not turn out the way we wanted, what we hoped. You know, we thought, I remember back in the day, a guy, you know, he just thought, oh man, if God just gave him a Cadillac, all he had, if God gave, because everybody's giving testimonies about God giving them cars, and he thought if he just had a Cadillac, man, that would be God's stamp of approval over his life and everything else. And so he got a Cadillac along with a big note, big bill. And, you know, and he drove that Cadillac around, and then about 20 years later, he's still driving that same old Cadillac around, only now it's an old rusty bucket. Just a sad old beat up man driving around in a broken down Cadillac that he thought he had to have. There's nothing wrong with having a new, brand new Cadillac. But, you know, we just need to have our hearts right about things. And so some of us, you know, we have built our lives on the wrong things. And, you know, and then when it doesn't necessarily work out the right way that we thought, then we have to start back in. And God will help us rebuild. He can help us fix things that are not fixable. Not every marriage started out on the right footing. For the right reasons. But praise God, God can fix them. He can straighten it around. And so when our house of cards just falls down, God's not doing that, number one, but it's really in a way it's a blessing, because now it gives us a chance to go back and build the right way. You know, to reevaluate the reasons. I mean, every young person, I think, pretty much regrets some of the stuff they did when they were younger because of all the dumb reasons. Paul, he would complain about super apostles and how people would flock to them and let themselves be abused by them, and there was always someone proclaiming to be the Super Bowl team. You know, and so Paul wasn't upset about the competition. He wished that they really were super apostles and that the people following them around were following them for the right reasons. I mean, he'd have been happy. He'd have been really happy. But if the whole thing comes crashing down as soon as tough shows up, as soon as obstacles show up, as soon as persecution shows up, as soon as, you know, it's not as popular as it once was, I mean, that's just a wasted venture. I mean, it was all just based on a lie. It was a mirage. Some people can build their whole lives only to find out at the very end. But praise God, if they find out and they get Jesus and get into fellowship with Him, that's good news, right? But, you know, I think all of us will testify, man, the sooner you get in with Jesus and start figuring this out, the better off you're going to be. People are left devastated in the wake of, you know, not operating out of the right motives. But the good news is they have a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance. Praise God, that's good news. Jesus always loves you. He is always there to help you build the right way. You know, the moment we're ready to listen and the moment we're ready to follow Him, you know, He is ready to put us on the right track. And if we choose to put Him off for another day or another week or just let Him in a little bit, you know what? He's patient. He will just keep loving you. But ultimately, we are the ones that have to make a decision to want to fellowship with Him. John is encouraging us. Don't be like that. Don't be like those people.